Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is July 29th, 2024. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern. If you're listening over Rumble or YouTube or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions@nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right side of a website of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on a donation tab on the top right side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up, we're going to be looking at a new book tonight. We finished the first epistle of John. I'm going to pick up tonight on Romans, first chapter of Romans, read by Alexander Scorby.
The Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Romans, Chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my Spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them.
Okay, Jan, do we have any questions or announcements tonight?
Yes, we do, John. The first question, I'm going to break it up into three parts because it's long. It says, I got a speeding citation back in May, and I sent in court documents for special appearance, notice of motion, and a jurisdictional challenge that I got from NLA. The judge ignored my challenge and held the hearing anyway, to which I did not attend, and the court alerted Tennessee to suspend my license by August 5th if I don't pay. I'm fully aware that I don't need a license, but I may decide to drive commercially in the near future. Nonetheless, can I go after the county clerk and judge's bond? There isn't a city prosecutor. Do I need to do a quo warranto on the clerk and judge?
Well, you know, we've been through this before, but we'll go through it kind of quickly right now. We do cover this in our course. We also have this available for free. By the way, am I coming through okay?
Yes, you're pretty good tonight, John.
Okay. We do have some information under Education Starts here. You come down to Law and then come down and click on, where is it at that we're looking for? Hang on a minute. Law? Yep, lost it. Maybe I'm not signed in, am I? No, I'm not signed in. I thought we opened that page up, by the way. I moved my thing so I can sign in here. Didn't we fix that so that everyone can have access even to that page? I'm pretty sure we did, no? Terry?
I'm not sure, John.
I thought we did. Terry, do you remember if we did that?
I thought we did. Maybe I didn't. I can fix it. You just want that page to be open to everyone, right?
I think, yeah, we'll let everybody have it, whether they're members or not. They didn't come in and look at it.
Which page is it?
Okay, I'm going to go to it now. It's Education Starts Here. Come down to Law, and then come over to Court Forms and Process. Now, that used to be private, but I thought we turned it on, but maybe if you could turn that page on so people who come in.
I'll work on it. Thanks.
You know, the purpose of National Liberty Alliance is really to educate people, ultimately, to organize, communicate, educate, and teach people the process to save this nation, really, to have government by consent, because people don't know how to have that. But anyway, to the question at hand, we do have some information on dealing with courts, particularly dealing with traffic court right here. And you have to follow the process. And we've spoken about this before. We speak about this. I'm pretty sure we do speak about this in our law class. But first order of business, you got to respond very quickly when you get a ticket. And you have to do a file on demand, put in for an appearance ticket, a notice of motion, and a verified jurisdictional challenge. All that goes together. And you need to send that in. The next thing you need to do, of course, is they're going to give you a court date. They're going to ignore it. They did it to me. I just beat the traffic ticket just recently doing exactly this. And this guy really wanted me. They're doing everything to try to get me into court, just like they're doing with you. But what I did, first of all, as soon as I got the ticket, and I sent that paper in, and they sent me a court date, and then I called the clerk up and got some extended time. I told them I was going to be out of town that day or whatever, something. And I had it pushed off a little later. The purpose for doing that was to go through the process to get a default. And also, if they continue to push forward, then then at that point move it into the, in our case it's called the Supreme Court here in New York. They call courts different things in different states, but we have the New York State Supreme Court, one in each county. And then if there's an appellate process, you know. But in any event, you go and file it in your state court. Here in New York, you know, it costs $310 to file a court and to get what's called an index number, and then get what's called an RJI, which is a request for a judicial interference, I call it. But in any event, I don't pay for it. They separate those costs here in New York, so it's $210 to get the index number, and it's $105, the total $115, I'm sorry, and then it's $95, that's right, it's $305. So it's $95 to get your RJI, which I don't file for that. If the other side wants to get, a judge involved, then they'll do that. But in any event, I don't think they do that in most states, but they do that here in New York. So then I filed a case in there with the index number, send them the papers, challenging the jurisdiction, and they never answered. And so, matter of fact, I'm late with filing the default. So I mean, they're really far beyond it now. So I'm going to file the default this week and just get that done with. And they haven't called me anymore. They haven't bothered me anymore. But they really were pushing me. They really were pushing me to get me into that courtroom. But you have to follow the process. And again, I can only give you some basic information and give you all of the necessary paperwork, but you really got to learn and understand how the system works, and you have to understand the strategy. Now, it cost me $200 or $210 to make the filing, okay? On the one hand, it probably would have been the same thing getting a ticket, but on the other hand, for me, it was a speeding ticket, and I guess that would have hit my insurance up, so I didn't want that either. And these people were just bent on getting me into that courtroom. So anyway, that's what you need to do, and you should study it, all these papers, and really understand. But if you don't come in with an appearance ticket, that becomes a problem, and you have to do that first off, very beginning. And you have to come up with it. You got to make sure you do a notice of motion and a verified jurisdictional challenge all together, and then work through the process. Okay, next question.
John, yep. Can I ask a question real quick? Do you mean for all just members or anyone who comes to the website?
Well, right now, I don't think the only private pages we have, I'm trying to think, the only private pages we have maybe is they can't get into our courses without being a member. Is there anything? I don't think there's anything on our website. Somebody can view everything. Right? So, let people have the info if they want it.
Okay, I will open it up for everybody.
Okay. Okay, so next question, Dan.
Okay, to continue on that one.
Continuation,
yeah. Yeah. It says, and the bond of the cop, because I've already sent him an affidavit and a declaration of truth that he violated my rights, and of course he ignored it. I also carbon copied his lieutenant and the sheriff of that county. They ignored it too. Or what do you think should be my next course of action? I don't want to keep playing the court game.
Yeah, well, is that it? I'm sorry, I don't want to get too quick. Was that the end of the question?
Not yet, no.
Okay, Beth, sorry.
It seems more efficient to go after their bonds. Also, the paper tiger, or paper dragon, I guess it is, from Tennessee, is giving me till August 5th to rectify the situation by paying the court. Since I only have till the 5th of August, what, if anything, should I send to Tennessee Driver Services? I was considering an affidavit declaration of truth with right to travel Supreme Court rulings.
Oh, they're going to know that too. Look, there's no sense in chasing the cop. He hasn't got a clue on anything that's going on. They don't. All they are is code enforcement law officers. They're going to follow their boss, and they're going to do the will if it's a town cop. They're going to do the will of the town board, ultimately, because they've laid out the civil process in that town, or village, or whatever the case may be. So it doesn't make sense chasing any of those people. You got two choices. Pay the ticket and do it right the next time, unless you've done it pretty much right, but you didn't follow through, at least not quick enough. You got to move quick because you got to get that time. You don't want to get pulled into that court until after they defaulted on your papers, and that takes 30 days. So if you have them served by the sheriff, it's 20 days, as long as they're personally served. But that may be different in different states, so you better check on serving. I mean, there's all kinds of different things. There's federal things that you have to serve and so on. So again, you need to really do the process right. If you do have the ability to move it over into the into your state court in your county, if you didn't do an appearance ticket, that becomes a problem too, because I saw something somewhere about following a certain process. They have other statutes, and so that can become a problem. So there's really not much more that I can say about that. But again, I would not bother going after the cop. They have no clue what's going on. And they're not the problem. The problem is the people that should know, which is the courts. And you're not going to get their bonds either. I've never gotten them. I know one person who claims they got them, but I'd like to see that. Because I don't know anybody who's getting the bonds. They hide them well, and they just don't want to give them up. They're protecting each other. And they know in the bonding company is a good chance they're going to lose, because you're going to come up with law. They're not going to, and they can't throw it out. They got to deal with it, and they're not going to be able to answer a powerful paper that lays out the law with plenty of evidence. So anyway, that's all I guess I got to say about that. Is there a third part to this you said, John?
I didn't understand what you said, John.
Is there a third part to this, or that it?
We have another independent question on the same sort of thing.
Okay.
If someone is pulled over for speeding and doesn't give the officer their ID, registration for their car, and proof of insurance, is that cause for them to be forcefully arrested? Or do they have to have, there must be a victim, a corpus delicti? The state cannot be the victim. Does that stand in true in that case?
Well, again, you know, if you don't mind getting beaten up a bit, because that's what might or probably will happen to you, because they're going to come out after you. Again, I never give cops a hard time. There's just no sense to it. Well, why create the problem? They don't know the law. They have no clue on the law. They don't know about your rights. All they know is what they're told and what they need to do as far as applying the codes. And when I get stopped by a cop, I'm very polite. You know, I call him sir, so I give him all the paperwork he wants. I don't care. No big deal. I've never been harassed after just complying with them. And when they're done, even if they give me a ticket, I thank them and have them tell them to have a good night, because it doesn't make any sense to bother him. It's the judicial process you have to deal with. That's where the problem lies. Those are the people that need to be held, you know, to whatever you want to hold them to. The other thing is that since you did put in for a, you know, challenging the jurisdiction, I believe they said earlier one anyway, that they challenged the jurisdiction, if they did at least do that, you could go sue them. And you don't want to sue the court. You sue the individuals who stepped outside of their authority by breaking the law. You see, you can't sue the court because you're suing yourself to begin with, or the people, number one. And nobody ever gets in there suing town hall, so to speak. And the other thing is, you know, if you sue them directly, they're going to try to plead that they got immunity because they're that dumb, at least on that level anyway. They're really dumb. They believe they have immunity. They only have immunity as long as they're acting inside their authority. Once they step out, they lose it all. All right. Any other questions or announcements?
No, that's it, John.
Well, let me turn on, let me see.
And the permissions for the page have been updated.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let me see if I can get the queue open. Why can't I find the queue? Oh, here it is. I forgot. Okay, here it is. Okay, if anybody's got a question, comment, or any kind of a correction they can offer us, we're open up for that, so the queue's open. You know what I think I might do tonight, though, is I think I have a short paper. I'm pretty sure this is short when I put it together. And this is a memorandum on sovereign authority. I think it's pretty short, so I think we're going to read this because I'd like to try to get some kind of a lesson going in on every Monday. We have a lot of paperwork going in, and just to make some notes here for everyone to hear what we've been doing here, we've got a case going in on the sheriff. We did read that. I think it was 2 weeks ago we read the sheriff paper. And this this memorandum on sovereign authority was attached to it. We'll be filing that this week. We do have an individual who's going to be paying for that. But we do have another case, which we spoke about. There was I think it was 8 or 9 or 7, quite a few points that we wanted to make and go in separately. And I actually created some more. I found some more that we needed to put together. And we haven't been able to get much money donated to us for this purpose. So I'm thinking, well, maybe we should just file it as one. It's going to be a very long paper. And we'll probably read that paper over time, but we'll only read little chunks at a time because it's going to be probably easily 100 pages, maybe. And so it's going to be a big paper to read and, you know, a large file. But I'd like to look at this sovereign authority. I think this is extremely important. People can use this in court. All of our memorandums you can use in the court. And just so you know, we have lots of memorandums up here. We have them, of course. We have them on our court access in the common law course, but we do have them listed up here also, I think under law. Let me see. Yeah, memorandums of law. Got a lot of memorandums. And so there's a lot of information. People can use these memorandums for different things. You can, I don't remember if this is Word or PDF. Okay, these are PDFs. I should try to get them up in Word, and maybe I'll do that, but when I get the time. These memorandums, I mean, you can cut and paste and build whatever you want out of them, because there's a lot of court cases in here. There's Supreme Court cases, a lot of old Supreme Court cases, powerful Supreme Court cases, founding fathers stuff, quotes, common law, maxims, I mean, lots of stuff. So it's really powerful and it's very helpful if you're going into court. Let me see. Okay, so let's going to go through this a little bit, memorandum on sovereign authority. And then we've got a couple of people in the queue. Then we'll go into the queue. Okay, a memorandum of law. In the United States, sovereignty resides in the people. Congress cannot invoke the sovereign power of the people to override their will as thus declared. Perry versus the U.S. Okay, the purpose of this memorandum is to delineate sovereignty and make clear to our elected servants that the people are the sovereigns and not the government. Government is a creature and a law, a creature of the law with clipped sovereignty, sufficiently only enough to exercise their vested powers. We, the people, the children of nature's God, receiving our sovereign authority and unalienable rights to create a government by consent, whose duty is to secure our rights, not deprive them. By the powers and the authority vested in we the people via an unbreakable covenant made with God in 1776, we the people via Article 1, Section 1, vested Congress with well-defined legislative powers and prohibitions. We the people via Article 2, Sections 1, vested the executive with well-defined powers and prohibitions. We the people via Article 3, vested Section 1, vested the judiciary with well-defined powers and prohibitions. We the people ordained and established the Bill of Rights that Congress can never alter. We the people have sovereign immunity from all positive law, also known as human law, regulations, codes, or statutes. We the people are the authority of all law. The unalienable rights of the sovereign people to self-governance was ordained by God, established in the Declaration of Independence, and ordained by we the people, who are the authority of all law, via the Constitution. Any servant who resists these truths wars against the Constitution, the governor of the universe, and the people. It is not the government's duty to govern the people's behavior. At the revolution, the sovereignty transferred to the people, and they are truly the sovereign of the country. But they are sovereigns without subject, with none to govern but themselves. The people of this state, as the successors of its former sovereign, are entitled to all the rights which formerly belonged to the king by his prerogative. Sovereignty means that the decree of the sovereign makes the law, and foreign, that's statutory, courts cannot condemn influences persuading sovereigns to make the decree. Sovereignty itself is, of course, not subject to the law, for it is the author and source of law. But in our system, while sovereign powers are delegated to the agencies of governments, sovereignty itself remains with the people by whom and for whom all government exists and acts, and the law is the definition and limitation of power. A consequence of this prerogative is the legal ubiquity of the king. His majesty, Jesus Christ, in the eye of the law, is always present in all his courts. Though he cannot personally distribute justice, his judges, which is a jury, are the mirror by which the king's image is reflected. That's God's image. All codes, rules, and regulations are for government authorities only, not human creators, in accordance with God's laws. All codes, rules, and regulations are unconstitutional and lack in due process. The common law is the real law, the supreme law of the land. The codes, rules, regulations, policies, and statutes are not law. All laws, rules, and practices which are repugnant to the Constitution are null and void. For the very idea that a man may be compelled to hold his life or the means of living or any material right essential to the enjoyment of life at the mere will of another seems to be intolerable in any country where freedom prevails as being the essence of slavery itself. The general rule is that an unconstitutional statute, though having the form and name of law, is in reality no law, but is wholly void and ineffective for any purpose since its unconstitutionality dates from the time of its enactment. In legal contemplation, it is as inoperative as if it had never been passed. Since an unconstitutional law is void, the general principle follows that it imposes no duties, confers no rights, creates no office, bestows no power or authority on anyone, affords no protections, and justifies no acts performed under it. A void act cannot be legally consistent with a valid one. An unconstitutional law cannot operate to supersede any existing law, indeed insofar as the statutes run counter to the fundamental law of the land, Constitution. It is superseded thereby. No one is bound to obey an unconstitutional law, and no courts are bound to enforce it. Under our system of government, upon the individuality and intelligence of the citizen, the state does not claim to control him or her as his or her conduct to others, leaving him or her the sole judge as to all that affects himself or herself. The assertion of a federal right, when plainly and reasonably made, is not to be defeated under the name of local practice. The state cannot diminish rights to the people. The claim and exercise of a constitutional right cannot be converted into a crime. If the state converts a liberty into a privilege, the citizens can engage in the right with impunity. And let me just make a note here. You can see all these footnotes that I have in here. These are all quotes. Probably 80 to 90% of what I really write is really quotes, either from the Supreme Court, very solid, strong cases, especially the older ones, Marbury versus Madison. I use that a lot. And also founding fathers, comments on law. We also, of course, common law in itself. We quote a lot of different things like maxims. So again, this is all authoritative. This entire paper is authoritative. It's backed by cases. And again, it's in the footnotes. Okay, this Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made and pursuant thereof, and all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary, notwithstanding. Thomas Jefferson said, "I know no safe depository of the ultimate powers of society but the people themselves, and if we think them not enlightened enough to exercise their control with a wholesome discretion, the remedy is not to take it from them, but to inform their discretion by education. This is the true corrective of abuses of constitutional power." He also said an enlightened citizenry is indispensable for the proper functioning of a republic. Self-government is not possible unless the citizens are educated sufficiently to enable them to exercise oversight. It is therefore imperative that the nation see to it that a suitable education be provided to all its citizens. Now, of course, they haven't provided that. They should have, and maybe in the beginning for a while they did provide that, but clearly it's been gone quite some time ago. And but that's the purpose of National Liberty Alliance, to bring that education. So people should be boning up on this. If you want to have government by consent, you have to have you have to be informed. You have to understand the system. You have to know what due process is. You have to know the Constitution. And you have to understand the Bill of Rights and, of course, the Declaration of Independence, which is the foundation of our law. And you need to know some American history. And again, if you're not going to spend time educating yourself, you can't have government by consent. Not possible. Our founding fathers taught us how to do that. They gave, the way that they did it, you know, they had built committees of safety. All the colonies had committees of safety. They came together, and that's how they organized and exercised, you know, the First Continental Congress, the Second Continental Congress. They controlled the war that way. They came together and put the Constitution together that way. So if we don't understand that and those things and do what they did, because that's government by consent, they gave it to us by example. So if we're not doing that, we can't have it. Okay, whereas our servants and governments have deceitfully removed the education of self-government, whose motive can only be more power. Therefore, we the people across the nation are self-educating in order to perform our duty and save our nation. We reject any servant who arrogantly claims the people incompetent and that only they know what's best for us. We need to remind you, we have government by the consent of the people and not by the consent of the minions of the New World Order, also known as Esquires. The United States Supreme Court case, Boyd versus the United States in 1922, proclaims the remedy of today's problem when they said, "It is the duty of the courts to be watchful for encroachments against constitutional rights." In Olmstead versus the United States, the court stated further, "Decency, security, and liberty alike demand that government officials shall be subjected to the same rules of conduct that are commands to the citizens. In a government of laws, existence of the government will be imperiled if it fails to observe the law scrupulously. Our government is the potent and omnipresent teacher. For good or for ill, it teaches the whole people by its examples. Crime is contagious. If the government becomes a lawbreaker, it breeds contempt for the law. It invites every man to become a law unto himself. It invites anarchy. To declare that, in the administration of the criminal law, the end justifies the means, to declare that the government may commit crimes would bring terrible retribution. Against that pernicious doctrine, this court should resolutely set its face. The unalienable rights of the people, sovereign people, to self-government was ordained by God, established in the Declaration of Independence, and ordained by we the people, who are the authority of all law, where we said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. They are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such forms as to them shall be most likely to affect their safety and happiness." And by the way, that's exactly what we're doing, is we're exercising this right to remove these people and have them replaced. The entire judiciary we're going after. Any servant who resists these troops, and we'll be having that paper, by the way, you know, I'm working on putting it all together. I may have enough as we go along to start sharing some pieces of that, but we'll see when I start sharing that. Any servant who resists these troops, wars against the governor of the universe, and wars against we the people. In conclusion, We, the sovereign people of the United States of America, on March 4, 1789, birthed a nation in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice and ensure the domestic tranquility, and provide for the common defenses, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, ordained and established this Constitution for the United States of America. We, the people, ordained via Article 3, Section 1, the creation of one Supreme Court with vested judicial powers, and also ordained Congress with the authority to ordain and establish inferior courts with vested judicial powers. In Article 3, Section 1, we the people established that judges may hold their office only during good behavior. That alone should be able to get rid of every one of these judges, every one, which we defined in Article 6, Clause 2, whereby obedience to the supreme law of the land is good behavior. Failure of a judge to be in good behavior requires removal from office, and if Congress does not have the backbone to remove these tyrants, then we the people will remove them. And again, that's what our next paper is all about. The word sovereign states are Kabbalistic words, not understood by the disciple of liberty, who has been instructed, who has been instructed in the Constitution. It is our appropriate phrase when applied to an absolute despotism that the idea of sovereign powers in the government of a common law republic is incompatible with the existence and foundation of liberty and the rights of property. The sovereignty of the state does not reside in the person who fills the different departments of its government, but in the people from whom the government emanated, and they may change it at their discretion. And again, people don't know how to do that. That's what we need to do. Of course, we have people blocking everything we're trying to do, and we've got to get rid of them. But we better exercise those things, because if we don't fix these things once we get rid of these tyrants, they'll be back. The doctrine of sovereign immunity is one of the common law immunities and defenses that are available to the sovereign. In the United States, sovereignty resides in the people. Congress cannot invoke the sovereign powers of the people to override the people's will. It will be admitted on all hands that with the exception of the powers granted to the states and the federal government through the constitutions, the people of several states are unconditionally sovereign within their respective states. State-run courts, also known as equity courts or nisi prius courts, presided over by judges, political servants, who rule according to regulations, statutes, codes, or contracts under American jurisprudence. Law courts are presided over by juries, the people, who rule according to natural law, no judges, regulations, statutes, and codes permitted. By the way, only a magistrate can sit in a court of law. All judges are magistrates, so they have to put their magistrate hat on. They're not able to make any decisions. They just act as a traffic cop, keep things going, and put forth the orders, and put the seal, hand it over to the sheriff. Liberty is freedom from equity courts unless we agree. The state cannot diminish rights of the people. No authority can, on any pretense whatsoever, be exercised over the citizens of this state, but such as is or shall be derived from and granted by the people of this state. The very meaning of sovereignty is that the decree of the sovereign makes the law. Where rights secured by the Constitution are involved, there can be no rulemaking or legislation which would abrogate them. It is in these words, I do solemnly swear, that I will administer justice without respect of persons and do equal rights to the poor and to the rich, and that I will faithfully and impartially discharge all the duties incumbent on me as according to the best of my abilities and understanding, agreeably to the Constitution and the laws of the United States. Why does a judge swear to discharge his duties agreeably to the Constitution of the United States if that Constitution forms no rule for his government, if it is closed upon him and cannot be inspected by him? If such be the real state of things, this is worse than solemn mockery. To prescribe or to take this oath becomes equally a crime. Under federal law, which is applicable to all states, the U.S. Supreme Court stated that if a court is without authority, its judgment and orders are regarded as nullities. They are not voidable, but simply void and form no bar to recovery sought, even prior to its reversal in opposition to them. They constitute no justification, and all persons concerned in executing such judgments or sentences are considered in law as trespassers. Okay, and that's the end of the memorandum. But it was kind of a short memorandum. I think it's reasonably powerful, and it really lays out the sovereignty of we the people. And again, it's a memorandum that people could use in their court cases. But again, you know, anybody going to go into court, if you don't really understand how things work, if you don't know due process and the procedures of the court, and you don't have the proper mindset, you're going to fail. You're just going to trip all over yourself. You got to study. And it's good to read court cases, you know. I mean, we have lots of court cases. And we have a lot of great court cases. So, I mean, all kinds of court cases. And you can read a lot of them on our papers, you know, on our website. And with that, you can come to a great, it's an education itself. Just go under federal court cases. You can read the different actions, one against YouTube, one against judiciary, which is was still in motion on that one. And we have the grand jury docket. We have Finnegan murder indictments, grand jury investigations, landmark Supreme Court cases, which is very important to look at and understand, because those the ones we have here are pretty powerful. But this action against the judiciary is the biggest because in there we have lots of stuff. I mean, we got all kinds of cases in here that we've moved over for cause. We got habeas corpuses. We have indictments. Just lots of paperwork, lots and lots of filings. And again, through this, you read all this stuff, you're getting an education to begin with, number one. You're also tapping into some great resources because you're going to get so many great cases that you'll be able to put into your own cases and use. You're going to be able to cut and paste all kinds of things in here. So again, you know, a lot of this, I think, is all PDFs. I'm not going to put these up in Word. They are in PDFs. You can crack open PDFs, and a lot of my PDFs usually you can cut and paste also. But bear in mind, when you cut and paste on a PDF, the footnotes do not follow along with it. Like in Word, if you cut and paste in Word and you put it into another paper, the footnotes come along and adjust the numbers accordingly. And again, if you're going to be a writer of cases, you also need to really know how Microsoft Word works. And if you're going to be a litigator and go into court, and especially on a big case, you're going to want to be able to master the PowerPoints. I mean, you don't really have to master, but you have to be pretty good at it. So you have to study the PowerPoints. You have to study Microsoft Words. But we got some videos in our course also at the end of our course where people can go and watch and listen to you know, a lot of this information on how Microsoft Word works, and you can get deeper and deeper in that, and also how PowerPoint works. And again, you can get deeper and deeper in that too. So, okay, with that, I guess we're going to take questions. Only got a couple of people in the queue right now, so if anybody wants to get into the queue, now's the time. We'll take our first caller. Looks like it's going to open up. Sean, it looks like I'm trying to get that open. Don't know why it's not. Let me try it again. If I kick, well, let's try this. Okay, Sean, you've got the mic. What's your state? Is that your name, Sean?
Sean, yes. Okay. I've been on a few times. I'm in California, and I have the ongoing saga with the traffic ticket and the commissioner in Kings County. So just a quick recap. I did file all of the documentation that you recommended, the appearance, the jurisdiction, the motion, all of that. I don't recall what five documents they are right now, but I had those, the ones that were needed to be notarized, did all that. And when I went to, because I learned about this so close to my court date, I had to bring them with me to court that day and tried to submit them. They refused to accept them, told me to give them to the commissioner in the hearing. He refused to accept them, went on a rant, and told me he doesn't recognize sovereign citizens, etc. I told him I wasn't going to enter a plea. And I also asked him to a motion to dismiss because he had dismissed several other cases earlier because the officers weren't present. And my officer was not present either, so I asked him to dismiss, and he refused, stating that I needed to enter a plea first, so I refused. So he scheduled me to come back. The second appearance, I appeared online and again refused to plea. So he muted me and entered a plea on my behalf. And luckily, I had the tips from you and was prepared and told him that he has no authority to enter a plea on my behalf, that he is not my lawyer. I did not pay him to speak for me. And he kicked me out of the courtroom and scheduled me to come back for sentencing. Well, I had my windshield and my vehicle shattered, so I was not able to attend the hearing for sentencing. I did notify the court during that morning, because every court appearance I had had, he had told multiple people, oh, well, if you can't make it, just be sure to call the court. So I did that very thing, and I even offered to appear by Zoom that day, and he refused. And apparently now he has sentenced me in my absence and found me guilty and issued me a $225 fine. So I had called the court and asked them to please send a note to him letting him know that he has violated the mission of the court, which is to provide equitable and fair treatment to all persons. And so I guess for you today, I'm asking you, what would you recommend at this point? Because I have no intentions of paying the fine. And I really appreciate what you just read, because that just encourages me and empowers me even more, emboldens me, I should say, that all of this is just bogus, you know, nonsense, null and void anyway. And I have no fear of these people whatsoever.
All right. Well, you know, again, knowledge is the key, whether you can do this. And, you know, we had a meeting this week, you know, the leadership of National Liberty Alliance. We discussed a few things, and one of the things came up is court cases. You know, we do have that common law course that we put out, you know, court access and the common law. And we do want to be available for anybody that has questions. But they do have to have knowledge. I mean, if we spend 5 minutes with them, that's kind of what we're thinking on any particular case, and then move on. Because we can't spend, you know, 20 minutes, a half hour in a case going through the different details. But this is recorded, so I move too quickly. You know, you come back and listen to it,
yes.
Catch up on it. But the key thing is, you know, you have to be able to know what to do with the information I give you. And that's why it's important to know and understand due process. Due process is the right to be heard in a court of law.
Correct.
Okay? A court of law proceeds according to the common law. And so, but there is a process and a procedure that you have to understand. There's certain, you know, there's form. They put out all kinds of forms. You can use their forms. I make my own forms. I kind of design them reasonably, kind of like their forms, but I get rid of all their garbage. And, you know, they don't have a place for opening a law case. You know, they only have complaints, and the complaint is something that runs with equity. It has nothing to do with common law, because that's what a complaint is. I'm not complaining about nothing. I have an action going, and I got an axe on my shoulder. That's the attitude you have to have, you know? Mm-hmm. And so you're going into the court really to fight and to win. There's one thing you could do, but remember, they're going to move real quick. When I was fighting my case recently, I mean, this guy was just moving like lightning speed, you know? And I just got to him by days, you know, to be able to get to the point. They finally got my papers, and they had to respond to them, and it moved it into the Supreme Court. And they had threatened me with all kinds of things. They're going to take my license away. You know, I even thought he might even try to put me in jail. Mm-hmm. This guy was really nasty. But once he got the papers, and, you know, they just shut their mouths at that point, and they just fell away. They didn't even respond, because they couldn't respond, not to what I wrote. And all that is up to you. You have the same papers I have. It's up on
right.
The website. Now, but you're beyond that point, so you're in a different
them.
Place. You're in a
different place.
Let me finish. They'll always ignore me. Let me finish my point here. So, you know, you're at a point where you may have to pay that or lose your license, with the intention of getting it back, of course, because you're going to want to sue them. And you want to sue them in their person, particularly the attorney that was in the courtroom that told you all those things. You got to get a – now, there is a recording. They're going to tell you there is no recording, but there is a recording. And if they tell you there is no recording in your papers, you want to demand that recording and put the point in your affidavit that they said there was no recording. All those courts have a recording going. I remember one time when I was in my ignorant days, a long, long time ago, And I had no knowledge of the law, and I was in court making a battle. I should have won the court case. And then the judge had us leave the room, me and the person that was fighting in the court case. And we went into his back room, his office, to talk. And I realized, even back then, that's because he didn't want this on record, what he was saying. That's why he went to the back room, you know. That's why I always have a reporter with me. There's ways to get reporters into the courtroom. But in any event, then you could do a really great affidavit, you know, because you can get a real powerful one. And if they do change the, you know, the recording that they have, you know, the written recording, let's say, if they were to change that, the minutes, then you can prove that they've altered that, and that becomes a problem. At that point, they'll know that you reported the case because you'd have to produce that. But I think their crime is a lot bigger than that. And recording your own case is not a crime anyway. You know? So, in any event, okay? So you can go move it into state court for cause, and if you don't win there, you can move from there into the federal court. It's going to cost you, it shouldn't have cost me a penny. That's what I was really upset with that. But, they, you know, again, they're blocking you every way they can. I should have been able, and I did try, to just move my case right into the Supreme Court, right into the state Supreme Court. And then they pushed it back because they wanted money. They said, well, you can't. I said, no, the court case is open. I'm just moving my case. You want $40 or something for a motion or something. But they wouldn't have it. Okay, so I had to come up with the $210 for the index number, and then filed it and then served them. And that was the last I ever heard of them. So that's what you're going to want to do, but you're going to want to go. At this point, it's beyond that. You may get stuck paying that that fee, you know, whatever it was, $200 or whatever you said it was. And then you assume for that. I sue for $1,000in real money, and I define real money as Morgan silver dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of money. It's like $30,000, $40,000. I don't even know. What is gold going for these days? Anybody know? You know? So anyway.
I haven't checked it.
Yeah, well, 1,000 ounces, I mean, 1,000 silver dollars is every $20 is an ounce of gold. Yeah. So that's 5 ounces of gold, whatever that is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
20, 40, 60, 80, 100, yeah. So for every, no, well, actually, it's 1,000. So what am I saying? It's a lot more than that. So so it's not 100, it's $1,000 in base value.
$2,300.
How much? It's thousands.
2,300, I think it is.
Well, that's the price of gold?
Mm-hmm. That's gold. What's silver?
2,300 an ounce?
25.
Okay, I'll just use 2,000 an ounce. So 2,000 an ounce. So for every $100, that's 5 ounces times 10. So that's 50 ounces. Is that right? 5, 10, yeah. 50 ounces. And so 50 ounces times $2,000 is quite a bit of money. Anyways, that, I mean, that sounds awfully high. I didn't think it was that high. Let me run a calculator. So, okay, so we got $1,000 in silver coins divided by 20, $20, every 20 silver coins equal an ounce of gold. That is 50. 50 times $2,000 an ounce. So that's quite a bit of money.
Yeah.
So that's what I go in. I go in for $1,000 for every injury to any of my rights. That's what I would sue for. And I think that's reasonable. If you're put in jail, I'd want $1,000 every day I'm in jail. But in any event, that's what you're going to have to do. But you need to know how the court works. Now, you don't have to do this right away. Okay. You've got time. You got to watch because, you know, they'll try to get you for the time expired to bring that case in or something like that, which in common law there is no expiration. But you want to look at that and try to get inside that window if you're going to do this so that you don't have to fight that battle too. You know, it's just another thing for them to come at and throw you out with their statutes, their limitations. But in any event, you know, you could take your time. You probably have 6 months at least, maybe more. And take the course or go somewhere else and take a course and learn the law, learn due process, see how things works, and then be able to go in and battle. But you got to get your mindset.
Right.
And if you don't go in with the right mindset, you know, It's like trying to put something and store it in a place, and you're not sure where to store it and how to respond to it. You got to draw off it. And you have to have the right mindset. You have to have an attitude. And when I say an attitude, you know, I'm talking about a lawful attitude, not an attitude being a pain in the neck to these people.
Right.
But you have to have the right attitude. You got to try to make them wonder about you, because you're bringing stuff up that they never heard. And if you do good paper writing, you know, if you're really writing good papers, and it's nice and neat and everything's laid out and you're following the procedures, the process, and they see that you understand that, and they're seeing things they never saw, that you're saying things that they can't respond to, they can't answer to on paper, and you're holding their feet to the fire, requiring them, so if you don't respond and you don't deny, then you've acquiesced, and so you agree to this, 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 and this, whatever it is, you're laying out the case, you file the defaults. So, but you have to understand all that. So work on it. That's where you're at. Okay?
Well, I, with all due respect, I feel like I learned a lot from you, and I think I did a really good job, and I did record both of my court appearances. I think I did a good job, but he was just such an a-hole. He knew I knew what I was talking about. He knew it. I could see it in his eyes. He wasn't going for it, though, and he wasn't going to be embarrassed in front of an entire courtroom. Yeah.
Oh, the tyrants, and they're power hungry, you know. And all they how dare you come and talk to me like that? Who do you think you are? You know, I saw it. I talked to you last week about that judge in Trump's case, and he refused to give the seats up to the juries, which was just a hearing without a jury in at that point, of course. And they said, no, that's my jury box. You know? That's not his jury box. That's God's jury box. What is he talking about?
Yeah.
You know? But this is their attitude. They want money, and they get a lot of it. These judges, they get all kinds of payola. They fill their pockets up. The lawyers, they get tremendous amounts of money, and they got all this power and authority, and they wield it and they destroy people, because that's what they do.
I just listened to some YouTube videos of Jordan Maxwell. I'm sure you know who that is. And he had a lot of information, very succinct and comprehensive, about the Judges Association and, yeah, the whole court system, how it was erected. And it's just, yeah, it's all about money. It's all about extorting us. In closing, can
I... Jordan Maxwell?
Jordan Maxwell.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, I don't think it doesn't ring a bell, but I'll take a look at him. Go ahead.
John, you've heard of Maxwell, John.
Yeah, I'm sure you have.
Yeah, you have.
I said it didn't ring a bell, so.
It was about maritime and admiralty law. Yeah, that's his specialty. But in closing, the memorandum you just read, will that be posted on the website?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it's going
like
in.
That.
That's going to be attached to the sheriff case, which we read last week, I think, or the week before. But I will move this memorandum. It may already be up there, too. I'll double-check to see. If it's not up there, I'll put it up here with memorandums anyway. But it is going to be attached to the sheriff's paper. And, you know, I've got, I think what's going to be the most powerful case I'm going to write is going to be the one that's coming up next, which is the finale, getting ready for, you know, devolution playing in and playing out, but preparing to take the courts back the moment that all these tyrants are gone.
Yes.
And then we need to remove every single one of these judges. They need to go. And because what they've done is unforgivable. The lives they've destroyed is just, you know, forget about it.
Hey, John, by the way, I think I apologize. I misspoke. You were talking about Morgan silver dollars. I think silver an ounce is just under 30. It's like 29.70 or something. I think it's something like that. And I want to say, be careful with Jordan Maxwell. He has a lot of good information, but I see him as controlled opposition. And he's passed away now, but some of the things he says, he's a blasphemer. It makes my skin crawl, some of the things he says about God and stuff. So anyway, just be careful with that.
I appreciate that, yep. And I'm perfectly capable of cherry-picking. I take what resonates with me and I leave the rest.
Yeah, because you know, people will bring their beliefs and their philosophy and psychology into their paperwork. So, and I'm guilty of that too, but you know, I bring the Bible in.
Right.
By the way, just to make it clear, so the silver dollars are going, or the Morgan silver dollars, about 29, let's say 30 bucks a pop right now?
I think that's correct. I just looked while we were talking, and I think it's just under 30 now. It had gotten over, but I think it's a little under now.
So just so you understand, though, silver dollars, 20 silver dollars equals 1 ounce of gold. And now remember, silver is way undervalued, and they have to keep it there. If silver took its real value, then if $2,000, you're talking what, $200 a coin, right? $100, maybe.
It's speculated that it's going to go to about $600 once everything revalues. And
well, silver's going to go way beyond what it should be at some point, and that's when you could turn it over to gold. See, the point is you hold that. So I would not spend those silver dollars. I'd hold them until we get to the other side of devolution, when gold and silver goes back to its normal ratio, which is 20 to 1. Okay? That's the ratio. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to follow. So that's going to be 50,000 or whatever dollars or whatever it is that we work mathematically out when you work the math out in appreciation of money of today. But of course, even the dollar, the ounce of gold will fall back to $20 an ounce. But what you can buy in a economy that has no inflation in it for $20 is a whole bunch. I mean, you could buy a new vehicle for less than $600-$900. You know, you can buy homes for $10,000. I mean, you know, it's a whole different economy, you know?
Right.
All right. Anyway, you got to move on. Thank you. Okay, we'll take our next caller here. Let's see, it's Mike. You got the mic, Mike? What state are you calling from?
Hey, John, Mike in California.
Mike, California.
Yep. I've spoken with you a few times before. I attempted to move my case from state court to federal court, and I was unsuccessful, and I don't know if I missed something, if I'm doing something wrong, or if the people down there don't know what they're doing.
You have to understand jurisdiction. You have to understand venue, too. You have to put an opinion in the right court, okay? You know, here's something people don't realize would be very helpful. Every court has a pro se, what do they call it? As a matter of fact, I was just putting one up, handbook.
Mm-hmm.
There's a pro se handbook. I've downloaded a few of them you know, for federal court particularly.
Right.
But they also have a phone number, and usually they're in the handbook. It's a phone number of the pro se office. And
okay.
Here in New York, there's only that phone number goes down to New York City. And they will help you on the phone with certain things. And if you go through their paper, you know, those handbooks, it does a pretty good job in laying out how things go. Of course, they're statutory. You just have to change that into constitutional, at least I do. I'll use the statutes to you know, sort of placate them or something so that, you know, whatever. I'll use the statutes. But I do make my point that I only agree with statutes when they are in line with the common law, okay? And, of course, we use it against them. But I don't need a statute to proceed. I don't have to say a quote a statute in order to proceed to this place or to that place, which is what they're talking about.
Right,
so,
right.
I agree. You got to kind of work that in there with them. And but again, you know, you have to be careful, and it's a mindset that you don't trap yourself. You know, I know there was a story. I think it was Gerard told me the story or mentioned this story where there was a guy in a court. Made a big case about the fact that there was a fringe flag in there in the courtroom. And the story goes that the judge got out and put it out in the hall, came back and said, ain't here no more. Now what? Or another case I heard from someone when they were quoting statutes. Well, you were quoting statutes, so we're going to apply them to you. But again, you have to know how to apply them. You have to make it clear how you're applying them. I make it very clear that don't apply to me, because you can read it in the sovereign paper that we just wrote. And it's probably in all my papers that, you know, these things have nothing to do with me. This controls you, and I will use it to control them. But I definitely won't use it for a way that's contrary to common law.
Right, that's what they're made for. Specifically, they looked at my notice of removal, and because I used the docket number from my my state court case, they said it's a criminal case and it can't be moved.
Yeah, you can't look at. You know, we've got the.
Was I supposed to change the docket number when I filed my paperwork at the court? Because when I filed my notice of motion and my notice of removal, or not my notice of removal, but my verified show cause denial of jurisdiction, I used the same court case. Was I supposed to, court case number, was I supposed to change that number?
You were moving from what court to what court?
I'm from state court, state superior court, to federal court.
Okay, so you have to lay it out and open it up for looking for a number on the federal level, which you'll get that from the clerk when you do your filing, okay? But you have to refer, I always call it a statutory case or a statutory number, and you refer to the original number in the other court. Okay, that's on there also, but that's the first court that the case was opened up.
They looked at my number, which I referred to, and they said you can't move that because it's a criminal case.
Okay, what kind of criminal case?
Are they wrong on that? This was a I spoke to you a few times. This was the carrying a concealed weapon without a permit case.
Okay. Yeah, no, look, it definitely look, it you can move it. What do they mean you can't move a criminal case? I mean, that's ridiculous.
And they also, they said it can't be criminal, and they also said, now I'm not sure of this one either. They also said, I made myself the plaintiff because I'm suing the judge and the district attorney.
It depends on how you couched it. You can't bring the details of a court case into the federal court for them to decide.
And I did not. The only thing I brought in was the case number. The only thing in my paperwork is that I'm suing them for a denial of due process. Nothing in the court case has anything, you know, I didn't mention anything else, none of the charges, it's just not there. I'm just suing them for denial of due process.
Okay, well, you're in a school of hard knocks right now. You're going to make little mistakes in your thing, okay? Or there's things they're saying that you don't understand and know how to rebut, okay? Mm-hmm. So those are the two things, you know, either you're right and they're wrong and you have to lay it out and you do writs of error. When you do a writ of error, and I've done writ of error before, I usually ignore them anyway, but the last time I done a writ of error, the judge threw it out and said, you can't do that. I think it was Rule 60. He says, we've done away with the writs of errors from the people who was the sovereign. So they've stripped us of all our sovereign rights. They've stripped our rights of writs. So there are lots of writs. And that ultimately, they're not saying anything, but that ultimately also has to do with, for instance, our writ pro quanto, has to do with a writ of habeas corpus. I mean, all of that. They've stripped us.
It allows them in their eyes to break the law and take our rights away.
Those writs, okay, which are our writs, we're the sovereign. That's our writs, the king, not them. And they have turned it over to themselves. So if you read their paperwork, for instance, how to do if you wanted to do a habeas corpus, you have to go pray to the court for one. You got to go pray to them. I pray only to God, you know. Mm-hmm. But that's what they want. I don't comply to that. But you see, we're building a case which has been in construction for quite a few years. We really started to push hard in 2015, so that brings us to 9 years. So we got 9 years of court cases going in, but in the beginning we thought that maybe we'd get some stuff, get some wins, because we knew they couldn't answer our papers. But we didn't understand how evil in the beginning they were. We didn't understand that they would break the law and they wouldn't apply any real law. There's so much we didn't understand. Again, school of hard knocks. But filing the papers, and then as we filed the papers, well, then the strategy became we're building the case. So now what we have done with filing hundreds of cases, hundreds of papers, literally, okay, and what they have done with them, whether we went into California, the federal court out there, or went to New York or Texas, or it doesn't matter where it was, They all break the same law with the same process and procedures, and it just proves conspiracy is what it does. And so that's what we did. We proved conspiracy, mm-hmm. and we laid it out. Plus, they also denied the Constitution at every single point. They kept denying the Constitution,
They hate the Constitution. They absolutely hate it.
They don't have power with it, and they can't get their money, you know.
The last time at court, in state court, they scheduled a trial date, and that's coming up in a couple of weeks. So I'm attempting to get this moved, but what do you suggest on that?
Well, I don't know what you wrote, and I don't know why they threw it out. I mean, look, they may have had some good points for throwing it out.
Oh, they didn't throw it out. It was never filed. They just told me that it wasn't, number one, it was a criminal case. They looked at the case number, and like I said, I didn't bring in any details of the case itself, just the fact that I'm suing them for denial of due process. But they looked at that case number, and it denotes that it's a criminal case, and they said that it can't be moved.
Go to your state, wherever it is, a federal court. So what state did you say you were in again?
California.
Okay, so you're in California. Is it the Southern District, the Northern District, the Eastern, whatever it is, I don't know. You want to go online and go to that court and then search out, it should have on that website, Pro Se's Handbook.
Okay.
Download that and actually sit down for a day with it. I mean, I spent... I have a lot of experience now, so I mean, I sit down with the book for an hour or so, and I've digested it. And mm-hmm. what I do is I read through it with a highlighter and highlight all the points. They'll talk about the paper layout, and they even go through how due process operates and works through the system. They talk about the different papers that you have to file with it, some of the things you've got to prove and show. You have to prove that they have jurisdiction, and they have jurisdiction because there has to be a constitutional issue, number one. It's got to be the right mm-hmm. venue, so you have to read about the venue, and you have to make those points. If you don't make your point that about the venue, for instance, then you're not going to get anywhere with it.
Yeah, and I've made all those points, but they didn't look at my paperwork because they saw that CR in the number, which denotes it as a criminal case, and they just said, you know, it can't be moved. But I'm getting from you that
you have to have a federal number. You have to have a federal. You're moving the case to federal court for court, uh-huh. and you still have to fill out the paperwork that you have to go with it. But it's moving a case from one court to another court. It should not cost you $410 is what they charge on
that's,
the federal court.
$420. So are you saying that I should file the paperwork and leave the case number, the state case number off?
No, you got to refer to the uh-huh. originating court, and you refer to that in your documents. And, you know, I don't put it up in the caption, but uh-huh. I do make note of it definitely on the cover sheet. You know, you have to have a cover sheet. You have to have uh-huh. a summons. You have to have, of course, the papers that you're filing. You have to have the form that you need to get your number. Your federal number. Uh-huh, you have to get it to the court. At this point, I file through the mail. I don't go to the courts no more. I just file them through the mail. Like for instance, right now I'm filing in the Northern District, but the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury's address is down in the Southern District. And so that's a venue problem on the one hand. But I was able to beat that. I want to go in the Northern District, even though they're all evil. Southern District is the worst. There's nothing, probably nothing more on the planet that's worse than the Southern District. There you go. That's my opinion. But I wanted to get into the Northern Districts. I one of the things, because I'm suing the legislatures, this is a sheriff's case we're talking about. We have 47 defendants. The New York State legislators are in Albany, where the Northern District is at, where I want to file this. It's in that county. Because they're in the county, I can't file up on the North. Now, if New York was not listed in this case, again, we have 47 defendants. 27 states and legislatures and the rest of the counties. But if New York wasn't among them, I'd be forced down into the Southern District because the address we have is down in the Southern District.
I see. So my notice of removal, I have to list the originating court, and right below that it lists the docket number. And with that docket number on there, they're going to see that again. I'm probably going to see the same person. Are you thinking that I should file by mail and then I've got a better chance? Or
if you're moving to federal court for cause, you're going to want to go physically down there.
Okay.
They're probably going to have some problems that they're going to throw out. But remember, it can only be rejected by the clerk for not being prima facie, okay? If they see something that is just an obvious problem, like no number, you can't file a case, you can't use that number, you need a federal number. You don't have it. So you got to go get a federal number. With that, that's where the problem comes in. And again, it came in here in New York when I moved my case from the town court to the state court, okay, and they wouldn't, you know, I filled out for the index number and stuff, tried to file it into the clerk to get the index number because I'm moving a case in, but they wouldn't do it. So they just gave me a hard time, so I had to shell out the $200 to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they're going to charge me $420, and I'm okay with that. I'd rather not pay it, but I'm okay with that. But yeah, I'm just seeing. I'm trying to figure out how am I going to get around them telling me that they're not going to let me move it because it's
What are you facing right now?
Excuse me. Oh, well, it's a maximum 3-year sentence. And I don't know. There's a certain amount of money on it also.
Did you bring up the latest Supreme Court ruling?
No. I did. You talking about the New York case recently?
Well, there was a case that emanated out of New York, but it was a couple of cases. But I don't remember where this one emanated from. It may have been New York, and it went into the federal courts and went up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ruled in behalf of the plaintiff for the idea that, you know, you have to have, they have a right to carry a weapon. Gerard, do you remember that case? Do you have any information on that? I never got a hold of that case.
I think I printed off I think I copied the PDF and sent it to you guys via email last time I talked to you. But that's not my problem. There, you know, once I get in.
Hold on. If you brought that case up to them, what did they say?
Well, this is just the clerk. I'm not even filed.
No.
Yeah, but the Supreme Court already ruled that they cannot. It was in Washington D.C., wasn't it? The guy here that was doing the. He was training people how to be a private attorney general. What's his name? You know who I mean.
Yeah, I just don't remember them.
Crap. But we already had the New York court that said that they cannot just outlaw guns,
mm-hmm.
you know, so, and they've never fixed it, so the law is on your side. If you quote that case, they're going to have a problem.
Well, they don't necessarily follow through with that, though. I mean, look, they use comedy over all, comedy being C-O-M-I-T-Y. I always feel like I got to spell that because I don't mean comedy.
They can't use it over a Supreme Court decision, John.
They use it. They've done it okay with us with Tony. Well, they use it. We had, I don't know how many, we had a page of listings of different constitutional points that we referred to, and they used comedy to throw it all out. That's where they're at. They use statute to overrule the Constitution.
Well, the highest courts rule those courts, technically, so their decision.
That's why you got to move it in for cause. You got a case to move it in for cause, and, mm-hmm. and meanwhile, while you move it into cause, it puts them on hold, so they can't put you in jail until this case goes through its full thrust all the way through. So you got to make sure you do it right. You make sure you get it in. It's going to take a while. It'll take months before you get to the point where they're not going to rule for you, probably, but maybe they will. Who knows? And uh-huh. you've got to make sure in your wherefore clause that you want that court case to cease and desist because the denial of due process, that ends it, period. Okay? Uh-huh. So on the trial level, you're not going to win because they don't like anybody to win a court case like that, because that blows comedy out of the water. That's number one. The other thing is then you move from that point, and you got a certain amount of days to file. You have to file within 30 days or whatever it says, maybe 20, but within 30 days or so, you have to file a notice of appeal. And then you have another so many days, maybe 3 months or 4 months. You got to look it up. I might have 6 months, okay? So that you have so many months to go through the perfection process to put it all together. And then you file that in, and that's on the appellate court, and maybe you'll lose there, probably, but I don't know, maybe not. But if you do, then you can move it to the Supreme Court. All that takes time, okay? So that's important, number one. Number two, was there an indictment?
I couldn't get anything out of the judge or the district attorney as to whether there was a grand jury indictment.
They got to tell you. They don't have a choice. They got to tell you. They can't hide that. Either if they're going to put charges on you, then they have to bring the indictment in and charges. It's got to be put into the record.
I agree.
Full record. If it's not in the record, there's no indictment. If there's no indictment, they can't put you away or do anything, number one. Number two, if they're applying statutes, it's a statutory court. And if it is a statutory court, they don't have the power or the authority to fine or incarcerate. And number three, it has to be a jury trial. It can't be a judge trial, because you have a right to a jury trial. That's the law. We have the Bill of Rights, I think it's the Seventh Amendment, and the Fifth Amendment will help you, and there's even a Fourth. But the bottom line is you have a right of a common law trial. According to the rules of common law, it says that, I believe, in the Seventh Amendment. You have a right to have a jury trial, a jury of your peers, fully informed, okay? All of these are battles, by the way, okay? Mm-hmm. And, without all that, and because it's a statutory court, they can't put you in jail, really. They do, don't get me wrong, they do, but they really can't lawfully. And if you lay the case out, you can stretch it out. But the point I'm talking about really here is stretching it out for so many months, because if you do that, we'll be on the other side of devolution, in 5 months or so?
Mm-hmm.
But that's where we got to get to. And that's when we're going to have our wins. That's when the paper we're writing right now, that's when that's going to really have some power to it. And by the way, I don't know if I said this yet. I know I started to, but I don't know whether I actually got this out. We're filing the one case hopefully this week, maybe tomorrow or the next day, and then the one I'm writing right now, which is a little bit down the line, maybe probably take a month to put this together, maybe less. I'm going to do my best, but we did ask for money for funds to help us with this case. We did get one person who gave us $500. We got another person who gave us $100, and two people who gave us $20. So we've collected $640, and we need more money. So anybody that can chip in for that, help us get this case in. And we also need $3,000 to upgrade our website. We got some interesting things coming up in the middle of next month, and God willing, we're going to hit with what we're hoping may take place, and we may very well hit critical mass. And if we hit critical mass, we definitely need money just to keep the lights on, because broadband becomes a problem. A lot of things become a problem. All our costs just goes through skyrockets.
Yeah, so I understand. I'm not a rich man, but I'm definitely happy to help out. I've been a member for a few years, which doesn't add up to a whole lot, financially. But yeah, I'm happy to donate to that. I think you guys are doing God's work.
I appreciate that. We are. We do believe that too. So I wouldn't be here if we wouldn't be. I'd rather be doing something else other than this.
Yep.
But.
Yeah. And instead of the case I'm going through, I'd rather do something else also. Yours is voluntary and mine's not. So that's the difference.
Yeah.
That guy's name was Rod Class, remember?
Yeah, Rod Class, yeah.
Yeah, you might want to go on YouTube and look at some of his latest videos, because he really, if he knows something, he learned it through the School of Hard Knocks, because they were ready to put him in jail.
There's no better school than the School of Hard Knocks, I'm going to tell you right now.
That's the school I'm in right now.
He's got his video questions and answers with Rod Class on YouTube number 3.
I'll check him out. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
The more it hurts, the deeper it sinks into your brain.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, the school of hard knocks is, we learn best from our mistakes, mm-hmm. so they say. I know you got other people. I won't keep you on here forever. Do you have anything that I could look at? I've been on your website and I've been through the course specifically for moving things into the federal court when the clerks are being a pain, or just go through that.
We do that. We teach that in our class. Uh-huh. And let me see if we have anything online that you can jump into.
Okay.
Court forms and process under education law. Then you go to court forms and process instructions. I think we have moved to federal court for cause.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I followed your paperwork on that.
Yeah. So now you have to have, you have to understand the game and how it works. These little mistakes is what gets you thrown out.
I think I understand the game pretty good. I guess some of the procedural stuff, the filling out the paperwork, I'm lacking, but that's where the school of hard knocks comes in. I'm learning. I'll be ready for the next one.
Remember, the forms, we share all the forms in our course, but and so you can download them all. And you can take those. Look, forms is basically a rule of thumb, okay? I always change them a little bit. Sometimes I use their forms. It's not a big thing. But the major forms, I change them a little bit. For instance, filing federal cases, there's no way to, they have civil cases. I'm not filing a civil case. I actually took the paper and reduplicated it and put in a common law, I forget exactly what it, matter of fact, I know I have it up there. I probably have it in the course. I have to go look for that. But I changed the form. Okay, so I have a common law, and I checked the box, and it did get through, and they didn't realize it. But it didn't go anywhere anyway because they don't care.
Yeah, I get that.
They're sovereign. They can do whatever they want.
Now, if I get stuck and I'm not able to move the case, am I better off going to the trial, which is set for a couple of weeks from now, or am I better off skipping the trial? They know where I live, so, I imagine.
Stop. Listen, what about the jury? What are they telling you about a jury?
The state court or the federal court?
You've been arrested for weapon charges, and they're trying to take you to court. There's got to be if there's no indictment, you can't be charged with anything. You have to have an indictment. So where's the indictment, number one? Number two, where's the jury? Is it a fully informed jury? How many people are on the jury? It's got to be 12 people, got to be fully informed. And that's going to be a big debate. It's going to take a lot of time to go through that and fight that through the courts, because they're not going to want a fully informed jury. They got puppet juries. Believe me, all these juries are puppet juries. They're stacked.
If they haven't indicted you within 45 days, they have to throw it out, because it violates the speedy trial thing. Yeah. I know two people got out of court because they delayed the indictments, and they just let them go. They didn't even argue. They knew they were wrong.
Well, that's
also, they entered a plea for me because I wouldn't enter one at the state court.
That's another story.
Did you challenge jurisdiction in the state court?
Yes, I did.
Okay, and did you lay out certain things? Particularly, you want to talk about a grand jury. Where's the grand jury? If there's no grand jury, there is no crime. You got to get a grand jury. You got to have an indictment on me. And, the other thing they like to do, I know the town courts will do this. They make this claim, they can put you in jail because it's less than a year. What bar attorney made that one up that you're all running with? Because that's not written anywhere, number one. Okay.
Yep.
Number two, if you go into jail, it's an infamous crime. What makes a crime infamous is the sentencing, okay?
Right.
That's
right.
What's infamous, okay? So if you're sent to jail, even for 90 days, it's an infamous crime, okay? That requires the law to be followed. It requires the grand jury. And it requires a court of record that's able to give you, actually common law, but to apply the law. And all that is an uphill battle, all of it, you know. And again, there's discovery and all these other things you need to be going through. And if you haven't gone through them, you got to get going through them because all that takes time, okay? Mm-hmm. So you need to do discovery. You need to write into the court, file in the court, but you want to serve on to the other side. Discovery. You want all of the information, all the papers, all the files. You want the papers from the jury with an indictment. You want to know all these things, whatever the case may be. What do they have against you? What charges and who made the charges? I mean, you already know a lot of this stuff, but you want all those details. Mm-hmm. Again, it's a thing that moves back and forth. And if they refuse you, then you got to file a paper to the court to move the court to demand a discovery to go through. Okay? They have to give it to you.
Okay.
You know, so you have a right to face your accuser. And right now, your accuser is their statutes and a cop.
Right.
So you need to know everything about that. And so there's a lot. You really got to, you know, bone up on things and really make sure you understand what's going on. And you want to stretch time as long as you can. But I got to move on.
Okay. One last thing, really quickly. They gave me a deadline of August 6th for anything that I want to file before the trial. Is that, obviously that's not common law. Is that something that I can fight or is that something that...
To answer those questions, I'd have to see the paperwork, see the timelines, what took place, when it took place, what happened. You know, again, you got to... That's why it's so important to understand due process. Due process is the right to be heard in a court of law, and there is a process. Okay. Getting evidence, pulling all these things together. If you haven't gone through all that, you don't have a lawyer, obviously, right?
No.
Oh, well, they're really sandbagging you, moving you right along. They want to get you in jail real quick.
Think so.
You need to move it into federal court for cause. I think that's where you really got to be. But at the same time, while you're doing that, well, again, you have. I'd have to look at all the paperwork to know, and I can't do that soon.
Yeah, I understand. Okay, well, I certainly appreciate your help. I know you got to move on.
All right. We can talk again next week if you're here. I mean, I don't know when the 6th is. It's coming up in the next week or so.
Right, yeah, it's 29th. So, yeah, I guess it'll be... Yep.
Got to move on, sorry.
Okay, thank you, sir. Okay. Appreciate your time.
You're welcome. Kelly, you got the mic right ahead. What's your state?
Nevada.
Can't hear you. Get closer to your mic.
Nevada, can you hear me now?
I'm here in Nevada, but you're so low. I can barely hear you. Can you turn, not about turn the volume up, but I don't know, I guess on your mic. Can you get closer to your mic?
Yeah, I've got, is that any better?
Not really. I mean, we could try, but see if I can understand you.
Okay. I've been in a probate case for well over 8 years. And they've done everything dirty that could possibly be done. But initially, I never received notice of probate to begin with. And
notice of what?
Probate.
Yeah, so when we talk about due process...
Hold on 1 minute. You're in probate court, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. And what's it, a family member, or what's going on?
My mother.
And who is taking control of this whole thing, a lawyer?
A trustee that had...
That the court applied? Wait, the court gave authority to a lawyer to be a trustee for your mother and all her goods.
As of now, yes, they have appointed a lawyer.
Why aren't you the trustee?
I was in the middle of this, but the beginning trustee.
Okay, you need to go to federal court for cause, because probate court, generally speaking, when they appoint someone, it's because there is nobody else that could take control. This is a family member. It's your mother. They do this all the time. They hijack your mother. They'll spend all the time they can in the court till they exhaust everything she owns. a house and everything. And
they took my house.
Yeah, they'll take everything. They won't stop. You need to move it to federal court. That's the only solution, and you have to know how to do that.
Right.
And you're not going to get a lawyer to do it because they're just not going to allow that lawyer to do it. If a
Nobody
lawyer
wants to hear my story.
No, they won't. No, because they know that the judge will tell them, "Hey, what are you doing? You can't be doing that. You're stealing from that court. That's their ripoff, not yours."
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get. You've got to do it yourself. And if you don't know the lawyer, you're going to have a problem. And I'm sorry to tell you that, but that's where it's at.
But I've got evidence of crimes having been committed.
It doesn't matter. You've got to be able to take it to court. And if you've got crimes by these people who are bar attorneys and judges, okay, there's no lawyer that's going to touch it, and you're going to have to do it yourself.
Well, how do you take it?
Here's the only solution for you. Unless you're really good at comprehension and picking things up real quick, I mean, even that just gives you the basics. You're not going to have a mindset. And a mindset is important because you can't articulate and really work things out through a court case without being able to articulate it, because you have to have that mindset. But right. So there's two options. If you think you can develop that quickly and take a course, we have a 90-hour course, and then you can do it yourself. That's one way. I don't think you got the time to do it. The other way is to sit down and write a very serious, well put together affidavit with all the facts, just the facts, no law, don't put anything, that doesn't belong in there, just the facts, exactly what's going on, what's happening, so on and so forth. And you put an affidavit together, and you come and you can file it with us. We have it, you go to today's issues, and you click on stuck in an abusive court. And when you click on that, okay, you can read through this. We take all kinds of cases, pretty much almost any case, really. And basically, you're filing your affidavit, and the next paper that we're filing, we're going to be attaching those affidavits to it. And so we'll be, pulling your case along. We have lots of people who have already attached their cases to us, and we'll still take an affidavit for that purpose. So,
why the bombshell?
Well, again, look at what this is going to do is really bring you to a point where you're going to get into the courts when we get courts of justice back on the other side, and then you're going to have the opportunity to take care of your case. Then you'll be able to get a lawyer that will take the case, because that whole, umbrella of evil will be gone. And any lawyer that wants to practice law is going to have to leave the Bar Association because of the original 13th Amendment. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but we'll be laying that out in our paperwork. And so no bar attorneys allowed in a court of justice. As a matter of fact, they lose their citizenship. So they got to leave the bar. Now, they know process, but now they have to learn common law. They can come to us to learn common law, or they can go wherever they want to go to learn common law. Common law is very simple, but they know the process, okay? So they can jump right into this very quickly. So, again, you can get just point. So I don't know what else to tell you other than that, because they're going to continue to just take your mother's money and house, everything she's got. They're going to strip her naked, I'm telling you.
They already did. And they tried to bribe me $2,000 to sign off on my house before they accepted me.
All right, well, read this information on this page. Go through it very, very carefully, okay?
Okay.
And you can. This is the writ quo warranto, restoration of our republic. You should watch this particular one. This is one of our Monday night programs, but we focused in on writ quo warranto, and that's kind of key to what we're doing, okay, with our writ quo warranto, because we've been building the cases on this writ, which we filed originally. I think it was May of 2015, and the military.
My mother passed January 15.
Hmm. So she's passed away now.
Yes.
And they're still taking the money and moving through the court?
They've taken everything from me.
Yeah, they're evil. All right, well, look, it's not a real emergency for you at the moment then, but you can get justice at the end of the day and get your affidavit in.
Well, I actually had a heart attack over this stuff. They've done so much.
All right, well, that's all I can tell you for. And again, get your affidavit in. I got to go to the next caller, and we've got to kind of reduce the time because we've only got about 20 minutes left.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Okay. All right. Let's take our next caller here. It's Jermaine, North Carolina, it looks. Am I saying that right, Jermaine? And we only got a few minutes apiece because we've got four or five people in the queue. Jermaine, you've been unmuted from North Carolina, NC. Maybe I got the wrong name down, but whoever is unmuted. Got Coffee 21? All right, we'll go to our next caller. Okay, Chris from Kansas, you got the mic. Go right ahead.
Yeah, hey, brother.
Hey.
The reason I was, I haven't been on here for quite a while, but the reason I was so interested in this group is because of the, you know, the talk of the grand jury. And, you know, I just want to know what's going on with the grand jury. And I just wonder why everybody's, I mean, this is disgusting hearing all of these stories that's going on all over the country. The people that have been talking on here, why haven't they written to the judiciary committees, the attorney generals, you know, filing complaints? And, you know, why aren't we, like, sending notices to them?
They're either all in on it, or they got a gun to their head, one of the two, and that's it. The whole system is corrupt. Believe me, I was very naive when we started this, and our first time into the court, which actually goes back to, I think, 2009, when we were doing Committee Man, and we knew absolutely nothing.
What happened to that?
We just fumbled along. We never got anywhere really good in it because we didn't have knowledge. We were trying to get knowledge. We didn't have it. It took years to get the knowledge. School of Hard Knocks.
Isn't that like a grand jury?
Huh?
Then isn't that sort of a grand jury?
What's that?
The Committee Man.
Oh, no. The Committee Man is a political thing. They're the ones who decide who gets put onto the tickets. They've been exercising your right of government by consent, and they also have been hijacked and controlled by party bosses. Committee men are controlled by five individuals in each county, and those counties are controlled by five individuals on the state level, and all those states are controlled by about five individuals on the federal level. And so it's just a small group of people that control the whole system, and it's a top-down, situation. You know,
Grand jury supposed to be coming in and auditing these cases when they get complaints?
Well, first of all, you can't get a grand jury through the government because they've been hijacked that whole system.
Well, they're not a government either, from what I understand. They're a corporation.
Listen, we know all that stuff, and I'll tell you where we're at if you want to know where we're at in real time right now. You know, if you go to our action against the judiciary and you read the Corwanto that we put out there to them, commanding them to restore our courts, then we got interviewed by S. Gianon, who I don't know if you know him, but he's a pretty popular guy in the past almost 2 years now. And he claims, because he has people that are up there in the government, he claims that the military used our paper from We the People, because we rely heavily on U.S. versus Williams, which says the grand jury is not controlled by anybody. It's like a fourth branch of government and all that, and we quote from that. Plus, we've been established in every state in the United States. So when they saw that paper that we put out, as far as they were concerned, this was a grand jury. It was good enough for them to put the country under the COG, the continuation of government, because they did not respond to us. And they'd rather have that than come in and take over like Obama. And they asked Trump to run because we were in such treason. But they didn't want to do a coup. I mean, they could have. They had a right to, because they have an oath of office to defend the Constitution and guarantee us a Republican form of government. So they could have done that, but they didn't want to do it, which was very smart on their part, because it's dangerous. It's dangerous for the military to take over. So our paper that we filed with the federal court, yeah, SGNON held that up and said that they used that this past couple of months ago
Okay.
You know, when Trump came in to put us under the military form of government. So that look, just because these guys aren't acknowledging it, there's stuff going on behind the scenes that you don't hear about. I mean, what's gonna happen is gonna settle in a day. Once the proclamation is met, and once they put the word out and they start arresting some of these actors, you'll get your grand juries back. The trouble is people need education. They don't know how to do them. They don't know what they're about. They need to come on here and learn.
Well, what I'm asking is, I mean, you've got it here on your website. You've got it kind of set up in these states where, you know, these people that are bringing their case forward should be bringing them to their state's grand jury, from what I understand, and then the grand jury comes in.
Let me explain what we're doing there on that, because we're running tight on time. But yes, we are doing that. I'll get to that in a minute. But before we do that, I've been sharing my screen. Are you watching the screen? Are you coming in with a computer or something?
I've already read this, and I like okay. It. I like it. It's very powerful.
I'm going to explain what you're asking for in a minute. But I just want to make this point for you, not only for you but for others. On our underneath today's issues, you come down to Monday Night Open Forums, and you'll find this particular open forum, which was a few weeks back. It was January, February, March, April 27th, okay, which we got the writ quo warranto, the restoration of our republic, solar flares, and a few other things. And this is where SG was talking. We have his recording on this. That's number one. Number two, for anybody that wants to read that, okay, you'd want to go to federal courts, come down to action against the judiciary, scroll down to writ quo warranto, and you can read that writ quo warranto, okay? And so that's that. Now, what you're talking about is we formed the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. Every single state came together as a grand jury, and they filed a state unified state common law grand jury, and then all the states came together to file the unified United States common law grand jury, and that's what we support here at National Liberty Alliance. And so we've got the unified United States common law grand jury, and that's what we're filing under, by the way, because if you read this writ quo warranto, okay, you'll see we talk about this, that these are all of the states that have been unified, all 50 states. Yes, okay, have been unified. Okay, so if you want to attach your case to our case, you can do an affidavit. If you go to today's issues, come down to Stuck in an Abusive Court, click on that, read through this paper, okay, and then follow the instructions on an affidavit. Okay, download an affidavit form. It's a Word doc, okay? Follow the instructions. Now, we don't want your case attached to this. You've got to keep your case together wherever you're at. What we do want, if you got a case, if you don't have a case and you have a complaint and you want to file an affidavit with it, you could do that too. It'll open up a case when the courts of justice open up. But if there is a court case, we've got written down here. Let me make this a little bigger so people can see this. Okay. If there is a... Yeah.
It's yeah. About 9 minutes to 11. We got three more people in the queue.
All right. I just want to finish this point, though. If there is a court case, do not attach. Just fill in the following: case number, court name, the judge, and the address of the court. Okay? And then you fill out fill this affidavit out. Try to keep it short, if possible, less than 3 pages or less. I mean, less is best. You know, remember, less is always better. Because you get to the facts only. And all you want in an affidavit is facts, not the law. You're not arguing the case. You're filing the action. Well, I'll call it a complaint, but it's not really a complaint, because a complaint is a statutory process.
Harm.
You are filing an injury, okay, an affidavit of injury, really. And that puts you into the place to be able to have a court open and now fight that case. So between now and then, which would be probably 5 months from now by the time this thing gets to that point, so between now and then, you really need to learn the common law and the court access particularly. And you can learn that, of course, on our website. Let me see if I can get out of here. What is this, the cover sheet? I better put that down here. Okay, you can get into our court access course here under Education Starts Here, Court Access in the Common Law. You click on that. You can get the first... 3 hours of the course, you know, to see how it kind of flows, get a sort of a flavor of it. And that's it. But with that, I got to move on to the next person or two because we're running out of time. Right. Okay, so you can put your affidavit and file it. Just follow the instructions on that page. Okay?
All right.
Today's issue, stuck in an abusive court. Read it, understand it, file it, and we'll take a case on. And by the way, someone sent in a case that was typed out in, they typed out an affidavit in an email. That's not how it works. That's not an affidavit. You need to get a paper and file and get it signed up by the, a notary. And you need to get that to us, and we're receiving only PDFs only. So you got to turn it into a PDF. If you don't know how to do that, you can go to Staples or whatever, and they'll turn it into a PDF for you, and they can even email it to us for you if you want. But you got to fill out the paper appropriately. With that, we got to move on, Chris, okay? And right. We'll be here next week. You can get in a little earlier, okay?
All right.
All right, thanks. Margie, you got the mic. We only got a couple of minutes, so hopefully we'll be quick.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Go right ahead.
Hey, this is Margie, North Carolina.
Yep.
I've got a question for you, John. Mm-hmm. I had taken all the courses, a long time ago, but I would like a certificate. I'd like a certificate for the Common Law Grand Jury Administrative Course. And I know it's $25, but it's when you go to the store.
Yeah, it's not there. I haven't had time to put that in yet. And when I put it in, I will send an email out to let everybody know it's available for anybody who wants it.
Oh, okay. Need to prove that all the tests are somewhere on the website.
We have record. No, when you went through that course, we got a record. We know when you start, when you finished. We got all that record. So we know you. Jen usually checks to make sure that whoever's applying for a certificate that they went through the course. So, okay?
Okay, so I don't have to, when I send it in to you, the $25, to get the certificate.
No, not right now anyway, no. Right now,
I won't have to, because how you have it set up now, if you want the Constitution course and all that, the certificate, when did you take the course?
We do charge $25 for anybody who wants a certificate, okay? Most people don't look for a certificate, but some people do. Anybody that's going to be an administrator for the jury, then yes, they definitely have to have certificates because they have to have proof to the Committee of Safety within the that they're validated for that purpose. We can't send people into those things incorrectly. And also, I got a handbook. I just haven't been able to finish it. I get it pretty much pulled together. I just got to organize it better. And that handbook is going to be the Jury Administrator Handbook. So it'll kind of give instructions and process and procedure of the administrators for processing through, the system as far as the jury is concerned, whether it be the petit or the grand. So, but we'll put it all together as soon as we can. Now we charge $25 for a couple of reasons because we really have to make money somewhere because we got to keep the lights on, and we really don't get that much money coming in, but we're moving along. But if we hit critical mass, we got a problem. And hopefully, donations will pick up quick enough to cover that cost of broadband and other things necessary in order to maintain and be able to keep the lights on the website itself, because all our is going to escalate. The other thing is I've been doing the certificates, and that takes time for me, and sometimes things sit around for a while before I can even get to it. I got a stack of paper on my desk. Every piece of paper is a piece of work that I got to deal with. But I'm doing the best I can on that. But with that, we got to move on. We can talk more next week if you want, okay?
Okay, all right. Thank you, John.
Thank you. George, you got the mic. Only got a minute or two.
Hi, yeah. This is my first time listening in, and I was recommended by a friend. I really don't know what's going on. I was wondering, have you heard of Dr. Joseph Sansone and what he's doing in Florida to write a writ of mandamus against Governor DeSantis and trying to get the vaccines pulled out of Florida. Have you heard of what he's doing?
No, he's a doctor.
Yeah, he's a doctor, but he's got a lot going on. Very extensive legal briefs filing with the Supreme Court of Florida.
Why don't you send us information, maybe a website or a copy of some paperwork of his or whatever, and we'll take a look at it. Send it to mail@nationalliberty alliance.org, and all of our leadership gets that mail. So we'll all get to look into that.
Yeah, I'm sure he could use some help. He's pretty extensive in his efforts, so he's not a novice, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, I'm interested in reading other people's work because look at the best way to become a good writer is read the writing of others, and especially if you can get a good writer, who really lays things out properly and is not statutory, but is focusing in on the natural law. That stuff I like to read because it'll build me up and edify me.
Thank you before you go. I'm trying to get into the churches to get them to wake up. I know the Bible text tells me it's going to be a waste of time, but do you have something?
Say that again. What's a waste of time?
Trying to get into the churches. You know, the Bible doesn't really talk too well about the churches at the end of time. Anyway, that's my point.
Well, come to our Bible studies then. We have Bible studies every Wednesday right under Education Starts Here. Click on our Bible studies there, and we've got lots of studies we've been doing for many, many years. We're in the Gospel of Matthew right now. We finished Revelations a little while back, but that's up here.
My point is, do you have something that's a real brief introduction as to who you are, what you do, that I could, pass around to the people at the churches so that they can wake them up, get them over to you?
Well, no, they're not going to wake up. The churches have come to the point that they seem nice and everything, and I don't want to really talk bad about any particular church, but there are a lot of problems. But it's a lot of it is no different, really, than when Christ came the first time. You know, the people, blessed are the poor in spirit. He came for sinners and not for the righteous. He came for, he came for the sick, not for those who claim not to be sick. And so...
One criticism against the churches of that day is the same that we have today, and that is that they do not recognize the signs of the times.
Right. Well, it's the leadership and it's the foundations. If you dig deep into the foundations, that's where you'll see whether they're on track with the truth or not. And that's it, line upon line, precept upon precept. But if you want to talk about this more, come to our Wednesday night study, because after our study, we can have conversation.
Oh, that's wonderful. I appreciate
that. This is a better venue than here, because this is really not the appropriate place to get into this kind of a discussion, I don't think.
And the email is mail@nationallibertyalliance.org.
Yeah, mail@nationallibertyalliance.org.
Thank you.
Okay? Thank you. Okay, take our next person. Looks like Candy from Michigan. We got a minute. Go right ahead, and hopefully next week we can spend more time.
Okay, I don't really have until next week, or, I guess I might have picked the wrong time to exercise my rights, and turns out they don't like that.
No, they don't, not at all. They don't recognize your rights.
No, so I got pulled over. He said I was going too fast, and I probably was.
Well, you know what? Look, listen, you're in a situation where you can always go back if you want to, but I mean, if it's a traffic court situation, you're going to get hit with the fine. Maybe that's the best way to go right now. You can go in and try to fight it. You're not going to get nowhere, but you get some experience by doing that. And you need to study. You need
to
learn.
That's not just the whole thing, though. I thought that I had a right to not provide anything that would be used in court against me, so I wasn't giving him my ID. Or anything that he.
Well, again, when it comes, are you talking about the cop? Are you talking about the cop that you didn't want to give him information? All right. Well, what you should do, because we spoke about this a little earlier, You should, we'll be posting this program up. I post them up on the videos right after the program. And Terry, I think she usually has been putting them up after the program. And you can go back and listen from the beginning, because we did discuss this kind of an issue earlier today, and you get a lot from it. And then you can come back next Monday and you can talk more. But we got to move on because we're out of time. We're 3 minutes over right now, but I want to try to get Brett before we close down. Okay? But roll back and listen to tonight's program earlier. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Next quarter, caller, last caller, Brett. We got a minute or two. That's about it.
Hello?
Yep. Go right ahead.
Yeah. So the form where the traffic court form, is that and delete it out where it says traffic court and you putting in the village court or whatever citation you
right,
got?
Right. You have to make
or
it
work. Is that about just traffic?
No. You got to make it work for you, okay? And it's all about code and codes. It doesn't matter. You can work the whole, you can use that framework of it and work yet whatever kind of a case it is into it, okay? So if you come down to, let's see what we have here. Hang on a second, because I think we have it from two different perspectives. I know we have it from the traffic position. Okay, demand and oath, we've got common law trust, instruction form, traffic court. Okay, that's traffic court. Instructions to challenge jurisdiction. Okay, we got instructions forms to move your case for cause, instructions to form to file habeas corpus, enforcement demands, and then a lot of memorandums. Okay, again, you got to make it work for whatever case it is, because it's still usually the same thing, because it's municipality law. You're going up in civil law. Which is statutes, and statutes have nothing to do with us. It's not a court of record. They can't give you due process, and you just have to file the proper papers to get out of there. You know?
Okay.
Challenging the jurisdiction is the way to go, right here. Instruction forms to challenge the jurisdiction. But I would use this here. I probably need to update this. I just haven't got the time because I've updated the traffic one. So I would use this one again. You just have to make it work for whatever it is you're doing.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be traffic.
Okay. Two more quick questions. One being, where do you? Is there a spot that has the original 13th Amendment on there?
We do have it somewhere. I don't remember where it's at. Let me think. I don't remember. Hit me next week with it. I'll let you know. I don't know.
Okay. Okay. The next question is, I know of some people who does websites and update websites and some things of that sort, and I was wondering who would I pass that information off to? Would that be the mail at libertyalliance.com or org? Or
They do websites. Why would we want to talk with them, do you know?
Oh, no, just to help rebuild the website you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, well, do you think they do it voluntarily or they're doing it professionally?
I know they do it professionally, but I just...
talk to them. I'll talk with them and see if you want to. Send me the information to mail, M-A-I-L, at nationallibertyalliance.org. And if you can get a phone number, let that person know first that you're going to give me their phone number. And then I'll try to give them a call and have a conversation with them. There's something for the future because we need to do something soon. Right now we need to update our website what it is right now. We need 3,000 to do that. But sometime in the very near future, and meaning being maybe 6 months from now, we'd like to get another website from a different, you know, much more sophisticated website.
Okay, is a 3,000 is that the amount that it costs, or is that?
No. 3,000 is the amount to bring our website back to where it belongs. I'm going to argue that, and I just haven't had the time to really get into an argument with that. And I know the guy that does our website that hadn't called me back, and I just haven't initiated back to try to pull him back. So I got to work that out. But no, that's just to bring our website to the point where we're not going to crash and. Because we are on I don't know what number. Terry, do you remember what number we are on Drupal and what we got to go to? Well, in any event, we got to.
if I can get all of the buttons okay. pushed right.
Yeah.
we're on Drupal 7, and Drupal is actually on Drupal 10. So we're three updates behind.
Yeah. So we got to work that out. And, you know, we're at the mercy of people helping us out and, you know, giving us some donations, particularly for that, you know. People who are, have been, you know, giving us $5 a month, some people 20, some people more than that. You know, that keeps the lights on, bills going and everything. But I am concerned about if we hit critical mass, are we going to be able to stay open, you know?
Wow. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Talk to you next week, John. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. With that, Lord willing, we'll see you all next week. Good night, everybody. Thanks for coming.